Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Defeat for Bore at the CBS Arena, 9 wins in 33. We break down Nottingham Forest and we speak to Dan from Up the Mighty Poles podcast to break down a big week for Bore. And of course, we answer your podcast questions. So let's get to it. We're the Bore Breakdown podcast and this is all your Bore Matchday chatter in a podcast.
Wants support. Curtis Fleming is there on the edge of the air. Fleming for Craig Hignett. Hit it, Higgy. Higgy hits the treble!
Abanelli coming alive again. Janino wants the ball played to him. Abanelli spots out. Emerson!
Hello and welcome to the Bore Breakdown podcast with Johnny, Dana and Tom. And on Saturday, Bore lost 2-0 against Mark Robinson's Coventry City, leaving Bore 15th place with 6 points from 6 games. Guys, defeat yesterday. Tom, I want you to tell me how you're feeling in 3 words.
Very, very disappointed.
Okay. Why? Why were you very disappointed?
It just wasn't a great performance, was it? I think we said before the international break, we've got that couple of weeks to get things done on the training ground and then kick on from there. And it was just, it was worse than the performance at Blackburn. At home at Blackburn, we've went back instead of kind of pushing on. It's a disappointing kind of like false start after the international break. So fingers crossed we can put it right quite quickly.
Yeah, well, we have got 2 games this week. But Dana, your 3 words, how are you feeling?
Sim to end.
Sim to end?
Yeah, because, you know, I've just got some thoughts on this season. And I know it's early days and people think that this is a knee-jerk reaction. And I think that's a completely valid response. But I just feel like this season, we'll end up looking back on it and really dubbing it a bit of a wasted season. And, you know, I have my thoughts on that. I think it's mainly because I just feel like Neil Warnock is holding us back and that we are trying to move forward with a new direction. Obviously, the appointment of Kieran Scott and then the change of approach in the transfer window. But I just don't think we've got the right manager to head all of it.
So are you suggesting change?
I don't really know, to be honest. I don't know where I stand on it because, yes, we could get rid now, but then again, I think this season will probably end up being a bit of a wasted season. I don't know where I stand on it, to be honest. I wouldn't be averse to Neil Warnock leaving, but I don't know.
Yeah, well, look, it's still very early, and I think that's like my 3 words. It's still early, but like the obviously after 6 games, when you look at teams who've got promoted and after bad starts, they tend to kick on after like 10 to 15 games. And my opinion's always been, judges at Christmas, and we'll see where we're at. But I think with Bore now, I think, to put it bluntly, I think we are a mid-table side anyway. Like, I know this season, it's not me like saying, oh, we're going to finish mid-table this year, but I'm saying, as a club, the club has recruited poorly. They haven't had a strategic strategic plan in terms of management. They haven't had a certain style. No one's been singing from the same hymn sheet. There seems to be a divide. So that all of that muddled together doesn't really give you an output of success, really, does it? It just says like chaos. Do you know what it's like? That meme where it's like the dog and it's like the fire and they saying everything's fine. That's yes, what it's kind. That's yes. What it's kind of like a little it bit, isn't it? Like over like the last few seasons, but it's still very early. I think things can still get better, but at the moment, if I'm honest, like I think where we're at the moment is probably where Borough should be at the minute. Do you know what I mean? That's kind of where we should be. Like, if everything off the pitch is going well, is in transition, surely the stuff on the pitch probably will follow that to some extent. But
yeah, I don't know. It's a weird one because I feel like, I mean, how long has Neil Warnock been here now? Since June 2020?
June 2020, yeah.
I just don't feel like we're any nearer to being either a Neil Warnock side or even a decent side that can, you know, be gunning for promotion this season. I think a lot of people have mentioned recently, I've definitely seen a shift in the sort of perception of Borough's season and the opinions on Neil Warnock recently. I just kind of feel like, I don't know, I'm a little bit disillusioned at the moment, I think. And results like that against Coventry, performances like that against Coventry, they just don't help. And I feel like tactics are maybe a little bit outdated.
Well, let's break Coventry down, and then we'll move on to Borough's form, because some of the facts and figures are quite bleak, if you want to go that way. But we'll start things off, and we'll go before the game first. Dana, Paddy McNair was going to start in the back three. Injured, of course, Sol Bamba replaced him. And congratulations to Sol Bamba, by the way. 90 minutes in, after coming back from cancer as well. So fantastic for him. But he came in at the side. But how big of a blow is it for Borough to lose Paddy McNair? I appreciate he's going to be assessed on Monday. We don't know the impact he potentially could be out for. But how big of a blow would it be to lose him?
It depends on what formation Borough are going to play with for the next handful of games. Because, as I've mentioned a few times, I think in midfield, Paddy McNair, he's not really as present as he is when he's bringing the ball out from the back in from defence into those sort of deep areas of midfield. So if we play with wing backs, which I don't think we will after yesterday's game, then yes, it would be he would be a big miss. But if we're going to play with a four at the back and then three in midfield, it's not so much of a loss, in my opinion.
Okay, well, not much of a loss, but Tom, do you think Borough, well, Dana thinks so, but do you think that Borough will probably change system now, given that the injuries we've got? I think we've got like a depth 23 players and four out injured. Do you think we might maybe change?
I think we have to, unless Baller's going to be back in the next couple of games, which nobody seems to know. I'm kind of more in favour of us going four at the back now, especially if Ball is still out. We can probably get away with playing Peltier there and not having him kind of bombing forward as much. We don't need him to play wing back. But if we're going to stick with a three at the back / five at the back and playing wing backs, then we need Baller back. Paddy McNair will be a massive miss to that system.
You've both said that the wing back system is probably not going to be as effective now. But why do you think that is? Just out of curiosity.
I think it's unbalanced at the moment. You know, with Baller being out injured, we don't really have another option there. Fair enough, you can play Tav or Jones there, but they're not wing-backs. They're both, well, Jones is kind of more of an out-and-out winger, and Tav's kind of your more creative player that you want up top. You don't want him playing left wing-back. So, ideally, you know, we need Baller back as quick as possible. But if not, then we've got no one else who can really play there. I think the only two players who could have played wing-back are both out on loan at the moment.
Oh, so do you not see Tav maybe filling in for Baller on the left wing back?
I mean, it's a possibility. You know, Warnock said the other day, like, oh, he'll probably play a left back if I wanted him to, and I've got no doubt that he probably would try and play Tav there, but I don't want to see Tav playing there. You know, you want to see him up top creating chances or, like, cutting in from the right onto his left, and he's just not going to get there. The opportunity to do that if he's having to fill in at left wing back. Personally, I'm quite disappointed that after the transfer window, such a glaring problem through the entire summer wasn't actually addressed. And you know, now we're in the free agent market, but we apparently missed out on one last week.
That'll be Kane Bryan, won't it?
Yeah, like just try for a few at once. Like it's obvious that we need another option there.
I can play left back. I mean, I've got a terrible injury record, but I reckon I could do a job. But in terms of the defence, Tom, you mentioned Lee Peltier there, and him and Bamba in defence. And I appreciate yesterday, I feel like we must have been the slowest defence of all time, really, with with Bamba, Fry and Grant Hall. But how do you think Bamba coped yesterday? Because I appreciate it was his first, probably, his, well, that's his second full 90, isn't it, given that you played against Blackpool, right? You played against Blackpool in the Cup, but in the first league game. But how do you think he coped, Justin? How do you think the defence coped in general as a three? Because it seemed to get torn apart at times with the pace of the Coventry team.
I didn't mind Bamba so much yesterday. Going to be honest, he was better than I was expecting. You know, for that time out of football and then playing a full 90 yesterday at very short notice, he looked all right when he was called upon at times. Certain others in the defence didn't have a good game. I think particularly Grant Hall and Dykesdale. I mean, it was sad to see, but Dykesdale had an awful game yesterday. And I thought Grant Hall didn't play well either. As a whole, I just think setting up in that system yesterday, we just really missed Paddy McNair because we didn't have anyone bringing the ball out of defence. And it seemed very kind of disjointed between the defence and the rest of the team.
Okay, so Dana, I'm going to ask you about Dykesdale really quickly because we had a poor game yesterday. Why do you think it was then? Because he's been so consistent. I mean, appreciate players can have bad games. Everyone can have a bad day. But why do you think he's been quite poor? Well, especially yesterday.
Yeah, I think it was just a bad day at the office for Dykesdale. It was very similar with Tav as well. I thought he didn't have a great performance either. And you know what? Usually the biggest strength of Dykesdale is those defensive duels. He's fantastic at just wrapping his body around the ball and effectively shielding not only the player away from sort of getting it back, but also winning the ball, tackling, getting up and then moving from that. And I think particularly for the second goal? I can't remember. Both the goals are sort of merging into one, but there was one where he went to tackle. And then it was Jokeres, it was the first one, yeah. You know, that's the type of tackle that he usually wins, and he didn't. And I thought it was odd to see because he's usually very good at those defensive duels. But I just think it was a bad day for Dykesdale.
Okay, well, on the other wing then, if you look at the heat map of the game, Coventry really looked to play on the right-hand side and essentially targeted Isaiah Jones there. So why do you think that was then? Because Is it because of his lack of defensive qualities, maybe, or is that just the style of Coventry?
I don't think they did target Jones, to be honest. I think that's just the way that they play. I was looking into Coventry before the game, and they do tend to attack down that right-hand side through Francati Darbo, who I think is a fantastic wing-back. I thought he had a very good game yesterday. And then Callum O'Hare moves into those areas on that right-hand side as well. So I think Coventry, they just played how they usually play, and this is my problem with Borough. Instead of playing how we play and playing in our own identity, we often always pander to the opposition. And it goes back to after the Derby game, I was questioning whether we need to man mark every team, every player religiously all over the pitch. And I just don't think that we do. Of course, we need to pay particular attention to certain players. I think Callum O'Hare was one of them yesterday. But it's almost as if we're so cautious, we can't. I don't think when we get the ball back from this man marking, it's almost as if the first thought in the players' minds when they're attacking is, shit, what if I lose it? I'm going to have to, like, you know, get a dog lead on Callum O'Hare and follow him all across the pitch. And when it works, like it did last season against Norwich when Daniel Fisher pocketed Todd Cantwell, it's fantastic. But my question is, do we need to do that to every team? I would love Borough to play with their own identity, and instead of playing the opposition, play their own game.
I totally agree with that as well. I think I remember under Mowbray, we used to do it quite a lot as well. I remember specifically one game against Peterborough where, to be fair, it did work, but he was switching the centre midfielders round and rotating them. So Peterborough kind of didn't know who they were marking, but it was set up to confuse them, and it worked against them, and it did work well. But he tried that too much, and it was never one formation that we stuck to, which I kind of see now. If you look at the successful teams like, you know, Premier League and Championship, you don't see like Liverpool, City, or even like Fulham in the Championship, for example, thinking, shit, we've got to play Borough next. Like, we may as well like rotate our formation so we can counter them. Like, they have their own style. And I agree with you, Dana, that we do need our own style, because it was obvious when we swapped from Mowbray to Karanka, where we went to the 4-2-3-1 and only the 4-2-3-1, and you know, 90% of the time it was effective. And yeah, I mean, in fairness, Karanka got slated for never having a plan B, but 90% of the time we didn't need it because we had our own way of playing, which works so well, which I don't think we have at the moment. Like, I think you said it before the game yesterday, we'll set up to counter Coventry, and it's exactly what we did, and it just worked against us.
Yeah.
So is there a style then for Borough? Non-existent? What do you think it is?
I think with Borough's style, it's just hopeful. I don't really see a lot of attacking patterns in our play, and if it is, it's, I don't know, we'll just give the ball to Grant Hall, we'll pump it into the channels and hope that Uche Piezu gets on the end of it or Matt Crooks gets on the end of it. I see more in terms of our defensive pattern, i.e. obviously what we've just mentioned now with the man marking, then I do attacking. And one thing that really irks me about this style is that no one in midfield offers themselves for the ball, and that's not the player's fault. It's clearly a tactic that Neil Warnock has set out for the team to do. And I just think that the man-to-man marking is a lot of the time counterproductive. And to be honest, I know negative is a phrase that is knocked around quite a lot for football that does pride itself on defensive stability, but I do think it is quite negative. The players are probably always thinking at the back of their mind, oh, where's Jamie Allen? Where's Callum O'Hare? Where's Darwell? You know, I get it with certain players. It's, as I said, you need to pay particular attention to them. But do we really need to breathe down every player's neck for the whole 90 minutes? I just feel like it's counterproductive.
Well, do you think it was exposed yesterday then, the man-marking system? Because Coventry have a lot of off-the-ball runners and appreciate both their goals. It seemed like they broke away and made things really difficult for Borough. So do you think that was exposed again?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they had the fluid movement up front. I thought their forward line was fantastic. Even actually going back to Gus Harmer, who was technically the sitting mid instead of Ben Sheaf, who I was surprised didn't start. But they had so much movement and interchanging, and they just knew where each other was. I mean, down the sides of Sol Bamba and Grant Hall, they obviously saw that was a weakness because they're not particularly blessed with pace, and they just got the runners in midfield. And there was a piece of play where Gus Harmer actually started it. It was a 1-2 between Waghorn and Callum O'Hare in the box, and they just, I think they took about three players out of the game. And you know, that is, I think, the problem with the man marking. It's all it really takes to counter it from the opposition is good movement off the ball, and we saw that yesterday with Coventry. I thought they were excellent at that.
Yeah, so Tom, do you think when in that second half, when the game really opened up then, do you think that probably hindered Borough then, because Coventry just started to be a bit more expansive in the play?
Yeah, definitely. But I think what it's also let them do is it's made us a lot more susceptible on the counter-attack, as we saw with the first goal where, you know, Sparrar had it in the corner about 30 seconds before it went in the back of the net. And you know, I mean, fair enough, there was some kind of comical defending on the lead up to it as well. We've already mentioned it, Dykesdale with the tackle. It's frustrating because I think it wasn't too long after that Sol Bamba was in a similar situation and actually stayed on his feet, and you know, we averted the goal in that situation, which is what Dykesdale should have done there. But I mean, even so, like, it going through two players on the line, like, what are the odds of that? But I listened to Warnock after the match, and he said, you know, second half we did intentionally go out and try and create chances, but what I thought Coventry did really well was soak up any pressure that we had. I mean, we did have our chances as well, but they soaked that up quite well and then just hit us on the counter-attack, and it worked quite well for them.
Yeah, well, Warnock did say in his Porch match press conference, like, that's probably like... tongue twister that, innit? he did say that, like, he thought Borough did enough to warrant something from the game. Would you agree with it? I mean, we did have chances. That Uche one was, oh, it was glaring. It was really glaring where he could have slid it across and didn't. Well, what do you think?
I don't 100% agree with him, but I don't 100% disagree either. We did have our chances. You know, we had that triple save, and we hit the crossbar. First half, we had Tav's shot that their keeper nearly dived past. Like, we did have chances, it's just we didn't take them, and they were a lot more clinical with the chances that they had. So on that point, I can kind of see where he's coming from. Defensively, I don't think we did enough. And I think that was just obvious from the scoreline. So, yeah, that's why I'm a bit kind of 50-50 on that one.
Yeah, okay. Okay, well, let's chat about the new signings then, because in his presser he was asked why he played the new players and he said he wanted to bed them in a little bit early. Shame he doesn't do it with Matt Pajero, but we'll go. What do you think of the new boys yesterday? Because Onel Hernandez started, you know, Saliki came in, Sparra came on as well. What do you think of the new signings? Who would you pick of the bunch? Were you impressed by any of them at all, Dana?
I think Hernandez, obviously, it's easy to say him because he started the game. He had more minutes than Saliki and Sparra, but he had some good dribbles. There was a move down the left where he cut the ball across the face of goal and unfortunately Uche didn't quite get to it. But I thought he was good. My problem with, it's not specifically with Hernandez, but with the way that we set up yesterday is that we did seem to have a lot of players on that left-hand side. And I was trying to work out our formation for a while. I know I put in the group chat, well, is it this, is it that? And then I think I decided on it was it a 3-4-1-2, I think it was, with Ornel just beside Uche. But yeah, he impressed. I think he showed some good attacking intent. There were a few good dribbles, a few moments where he did cause problems, but then he faded in the game as sort of Coventry really seized control over it. But yeah, Saliki had a few good crosses in the box, which is what I've seen when I've been watching him at Rennes. He does have that in his wheelhouse. And then Sparra, within I think 5 minutes, was doing his usual pointing to the ground to have a ball played into him, and then Matt Crooks didn't feed him, so he's probably got to get used to that. But yeah, there was a few good signs, a few dodgy signs as well, a few dodgy touches, but you know, they've just been sort of thrown in there, haven't they? So there might have come from them.
Yeah, Tom?
Pretty much the same. Yeah, Hernandez had a few good dribbles, created some okay chances for the minutes he was on the field. What I'd like to see going forwards is him playing on the right if we do change system. Just like Dana said, we had a lot of players over on the left, but we had Hernandez and Jones who can both offer the same thing, both on the left-hand side and not really anything on the right. So I'd like to see that. Leah Saliki, I noticed that about the crosses as well. It was kind of playing in my mind what we discussed about on the last podcast, where it was mentioned he has an absolute wonderful left foot, and did see that yesterday. He was caught in possession a couple of times. I think Warnock mentioned it after the match that, you know, he wasn't kind of up to pace yet, but he's only going to get that from playing, so I hope he's not going to take 3 months to adapt to England as well. And Sparra, what I noticed about him is he was quite quick, which I've not been used to from our strikers for a long time. So, yeah, fingers crossed he's able to kind of get some chances fed into him in the upcoming games.
I hope so too. So let's chat about Boris form, shall we? Because defeat yesterday left Middlesbrough with 9 wins in 33 games in 2021. So 9 wins, 7 draws and 16 defeats. 37 goals for and 47 against. So it's a win percentage of 27%. So Dana, why do you think Boro are struggling to win games at the moment?
Well, I mean, I look back
How
at my
long
notes. There are a few themes. But yeah, I was looking through my notes from the games this season. And in a lot of the games that we haven't won, which, you know, is a lot of them, we've only won one game this season, I suppose the common takeout is the man-to-man marking. I hate it. I really don't like it. I think it's just so negative.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I don't know. When it works, as I said, it works. It's fantastic. We pocket the Todd Cantwells of the league, but when it doesn't, we get so exposed, and it's almost too easy to exploit the weaknesses that we have, because down either side of Hall and Bamber, for example, against Coventry, it's just so easy to get that pace and to get in behind, essentially. And as well, I think there's a big problem in midfield, actually. Yesterday, we had two attacking midfielders in Matt Crooks and Tav who were quite deep, and we just didn't have a middleman, essentially, someone that could trap the ball, that could retain possession. We lost the ball 185 times yesterday, which is the most since the long ball mania game against Barnsley back in April, in which both teams lost the ball over 200 times. But our ball retention yesterday was awful. And I just feel like we need someone in midfield that can be that midfield general, that can seize some control upon the game. And we didn't have that yesterday. And I think that's essentially what Coventry did have. So I think it's a mix of... There's certain gaps that need plugging in midfield for sure in terms of personnel. And then also the man-to-man marking. I just wish we'd been it.
Okay, well, what do you think needs to change then, Tom? Because... The form I've just mentioned there is quite bleak, isn't it?
Yeah, I think Dana's just touched on it there, and we talked about it earlier, but we need a system, and we need changes in the personnel in that system. For me, I'd probably go with a four at the back now. I don't think we've got much choice, but we'd probably put Dykesdale and Pelletier as kind of defensive fullbacks. Don't want to see them getting forward too much, but kind of help plug the gaps in those areas. As a free in midfield, I'd probably stick Housen behind Lea Saliki and Piero. I'd want to see both of them playing and getting the minutes. I think it's the only way they're going to improve. But also they've got the quality on the ball in midfield to actually make things happen. And then you just need wingers either side of Uche or Spira up front. So we stick to that system. We make the changes, stop man-marking people, and we... kind of go with our own style of play rather than trying to adapt to everyone, because it's clearly not working.
Yeah, it's clearly not, is it? I think when you look at Borough's as form over 2021, it seems that we've just been found out, really. I mean, the whole style and tactics of our play just seem like teams can just read it. And for me, like, I think we are quite numb in terms of like playing, because like, I don't know. There's like nothing to it. Like, there's literally no feeling in our play. There's like, I can't really work out what we do. I don't. It's like kind of like water in a sink. Do you know what I mean? It's just like it's just there. Like nothing. There's like nothing. It doesn't move. Like, there's nothing like to it. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's like nothing.
It's such a strange metaphor, but it works.
It does work, doesn't it? It's weird, but like it's just, I don't know. I don't really know what this team's trying to do, really.
But it's also funny because it's draining to watch.
And it's also draining to watch, yeah. I mean, but yeah, like, even like the funny thing is though, like, we get branded as like a set piece team, like in the Don Goodman School of Punditry. Like, he just says, Middlesbrough are a fantastic set piece team. I don't think I've seen us score a set piece in months. Like, I mean, apart from Corbyn's effort, like,
Bristol City. We won from we got the second goal from a free kick.
Yeah.
That was about it this season. Like, we've had our chances from long free kicks and corners, but...
Yeah, it's like they don't practice them, do you know what I mean? Like, I just don't really know what our strengths are. I don't know what our weaknesses are, but strength-wise, like, goodness me, like, if you want to be a top six side, you need to start, like, having some, like, importance up front, do you know what I mean? Some aggression, break teams down. I just don't think we do. I think we'll pass it to Jonesy and see what he does, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, basically. But it's like that article that I sent you in the group chat about Plymouth. And I would love Ryan Law at Borough, by the way, as manager. I think his football is absolutely fantastic. And he's somebody that will really pride his teams on his team's way of playing. There was a game against Bradford and an article that I was reading where it was basically a really cut-up pitch. It was, I think the game was actually in jeopardy anyway of starting because of the conditions. And he was asked, well, why didn't you change the way that you play? Why didn't you go a little bit longer? And he was like, well, no, because that's not how my teams play. This is how my teams play. We're going to play with it. And I think there's a certain... I mean, sometimes I do think you have to adapt, but we don't have an identity. The only identity that I can see is the man marking, and that's defensively. Offensively, I just don't really see anything with us in terms of, like you said, what are we? What are we?
Yeah. I think Russell Martin said something similar, didn't he, around his style of football. He was at MK Dons, and he was like, well, why would I want to change what we're trying to do here? Like, do you know what I mean?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, it's very interesting that. But let's move on to podcast questions, because it kind of helps delve into a little bit more and obviously podcast questions. You submit them on Twitter, we answer them on the podcast. And for the first one's from Charlie. He says, we always struggle to impose ourselves in the majority of games, and with our defending being suspect for a while now, are we just a counter-attacking team and trying to nick games 1-0? Tom, are we a counter-attacking team and just try to nick games 1-0?
That was just rubbish. I don't think anyone wants to see that type of player. And we've got the options up front now to not be that type of player, not play that type of system. So we just need to start playing like it, really. We need, like I said, one clear system and actually utilise the attacking players that we've got properly.
Well, it's funny, it just adds to like the question of what are we? Because I was looking at the amount of shots that we've taken from counter-attacking situations, just the two. We scored from one of them, mind. I can't remember what one that was. I'm going to have to maybe think
Johnny
about
Olsen,
that one.
Maybe, the other week.
Oh, yeah, it might have been, yeah. But I wouldn't even brand us as a counter-attacking team either.
We're just a pool of water in a sink.
We're just hopeful. That's just all we are. We're just hitting hope.
Middlesbrough Football Club, Hope by Twister.
Let's see if we can get branded Plucky Little Borough, because we all know what happens when people are branded like that.
Oh, sorry.
See if we can get branded Plucky Little Borough, because we all know what happens when people brand teams like that. Promotion next season.
Well, the next question, it's an interesting one. It's from Matt, and he says, Gibbo has put his hand in his pocket. The recruitment's delivered. Now it's down to Warnock. How long would you give him to find the right formula and to get his squad where it should be until the next international break, which is a month away, Christmas or the end of the season, Dana? How long would you give it?
Well, the question was about finding the right formula, wasn't it? I'd like to hope that by the time of the next international break, there's at least some cohesion in the attacking patterns of play and that we have somewhat of an identity. So I'd probably give it until the next international break. But in terms of judging where we are, I would give that probably till Christmas.
Christmas, Tom?
Kind of the same. I think I wouldn't want us to act too early. Just in case, because, yeah, fair enough, the new manager would have a lot of time to turn things around and get us to where we probably should be aiming. But also there's a lot more time for things to go wrong, which I think as much as we can kind of say about Warnock and his system at the moment, it's never kind of looked likely that we'd be in a relegation fight. It just kind of, we're like there. Like your pool of water analogy. I think probably around Christmas is fair to judge. If it's not going well there, we've clearly kind of got a long-term plan in place now with Kieran Scott being there. And it seems like we've been recruiting towards that for a couple of years anyway. It's not even the matter of giving the new manager a January transfer window, because I don't think they're going to have too much input on the players now. But you'd have half a season there to kind of make it work.
Are you starting to believe my bold prediction about Leo being manager at Christmas?
No, it's definitely going to be Blackwell.
He's thinking, it's Leo all over. It's going to be Leo, I'm telling you.
Lee Catmull's coaching and the youth teams could be him.
Bit of passion.
bit of passion from Lee. 2 foot on the officials. the next question, it's from Nick and Rob Fletcher, Bailey Nutt and Paul all asked a similar question to Nick Reedy. So he was saying, there is far too much knee-jerk reaction from Saturday, as equally when we win, but how long would you realistically give it before we make a judgment on how the season will pan out position-wise? Are we all in agreement Christmas time, Christmas to February?
Yeah, unless it's massively bad form before then and, you know, we're sort of in the territory of the relegation places, and I think Steve Gibson needs to... We'll probably have a bit of a long, hard look at the future of the manager. But yeah, I would say Christmas time.
And then, okay, the next question, it's a bit of a random one, because it was on Twitter the other day and we were on about it, but from Chris, and he says, any truth in the Adam Clayton links? And obviously, if you don't know about it, Middlesbrough posted a headline of saying Adam Clayton happy to be back on the website, and then nothing was there. And it was only on the 8th of September. I don't know if it's still there, but
no, it isn't. They took it down.
So, do you think there's any truth in the links or not?
It's leaked the news about our new manager quite early, haven't we? Yeah. I don't think there is. Like I saw something the other day. I can't remember what it was from, but it was like some council had approved and declined like loads of planning permission things because they thought they were doing it offline and it was actually online, and you know it ended up being binding decisions. I'm reckoning it might have just been something like that. Someone's kind of thought, let's do this article out, like test something out. I think I'm doing it offline. Use like an ex-player's name, Adam Clayton, and then it's ended up going live, and then, oh shit, better take that down.
Oh God,
Adam Clayton, would you ever welcome him back, Lord Dana?
No, I'm quite big on not going back on certain players and things, and I just, no. Oh.
Yeah, I know. Like, imagine like switching him and House and all this defensive mid, like.
Yeah.
How slow do you want it to be? I mean, we just sold Sam Morsi, and like he was probably our best defensive midfielder.
Yeah.
But next question is from Dev McNally. He says, is Tav now going to fill in at wing back if we were to stay with the three at the back? Dana?
He could potentially, but I think I echoed Tom's thoughts from earlier in the podcast that it would be a hindrance to him and in turn a hindrance to the team. I do think he's played there before and played well, but in terms of doing it for more than one game or a handful of games, and not for me, no. Okay. I also think, just a secondary point, he was playing centrally yesterday, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Much better out wide. Much, much better out wide. And essentially, he's got a free roam, really, when he's out on that right-hand side. I think, again, it just confirms to me that he is much better taking it from that right-hand side and coming in centrally rather than starting centrally.
Okay, fair enough then. Final question, it's from Patrick, and he says, what's the big statement change you'd make for the next game to put a rocket up the backside of our players? Because it was shocking today. What is the big statement you'd make, Tom?
Just changes in personnel. I think the players yesterday that probably could be dropped for the next game, especially if we go to a back four, and just kind of give them the same treatment that Housen got after the Derby game. I'm thinking specifically Grant Hall out for Bamba in that back four, maybe pairing up with Fry. Obviously Pelletier'd have to come into left back. I'd like to go kind of all out with the new signings as well, have Hernandez and Tav on the wings, you know, Saliki and Piero, if he does actually have a knock and he's fit, then I'd like him to be in the midfield and probably start Sparara as well.
Okay, Dana?
I'd probably change the midfield considerably. I'd put Lace Leakey in there and then Martin Piero as well, because I just think that would give us the balance. They both are ball carriers, which, I mean, let's be honest, we're never going to see that under Neil Warnock, and if we do, then Jesus Christ, I must be dreaming. But I think to put them in midfield would assert a little bit more dominance in the middle of the park that we need.
Okay, I would stick with the three at the back. I would move Dijksteel into a central position on the right-hand side with Hall and Fry. I would play Tav wing back, and I would also play probably Hernandez on the other side. Go a three midfield and play two up top with Uche and Spira, and just get Tav to just hoof balls to Uche and just to flick on for Spira. That's the only way I can see Neil Warnock going and changing things. And up next, we're going to chat about Nottingham Forest, and we speak to Dan from the Up the Mighty Pools podcast. But first, a quick message about our fundraiser, the Motor Neurone Disease Association, this season. This season, we're fundraising for the Motor Neurone Disease Association. Motor Neurone Disease is a fatal, rapidly progressing disease that affects the brain, spinal cord, and can make a person unable to move, swallow, and even breathe. The MND Association is incredibly close to this podcast, and we're trying to raise as much money as we possibly can to improve care and even get one step closer to finding a cure for this disease. You're helping us right now by listening to this awareness message, but you can go one step further by helping us achieve our target of £5,000 by just donating what you can to www.justgiven.com/theboroughbreakdownmnd. That's www.justgiven.com/theboroughbreakdownmnd. So welcome back to the Borough Breakdown podcast. Guys, let's break down Nottingham Forest. Wednesday night at the City Ground, how do you see it going?
Well, based on form, we should be in for an all right game, but this is Borough. Nottingham Forest haven't won all season. Although they are playing in 45 minutes at home to Cardiff, so that might change by the time this goes out. They drew 1-1 with Derby in the last game. I remember watching that in Concourse at the Riverside and thinking both teams were absolutely poor. And then before that, lost away 1-0 at Stoke, lost at home 2-1 at Blackburn, lost at home 2-1 at Bournemouth, and also lost on the first day of the season away at Coventry, just like us, although they actually scored. So they've not won all season. All that's kind of missing is a striker who hasn't scored since 2003, and it would be a typical Borough result, but that's the kind of team that we're coming up against Wednesday.
Oh, Dana, do you want to have some player breakdown as well?
Yeah, they play a 4-2-3-1. I was looking at their XG, actually. They have the lowest XG in the league with 2.9. I appreciate they've got another game to come, but, I mean, they're massively struggling at the moment. I think Chris Hughton is almost delaying the inevitable. I think he probably will end up getting sacked soon. He's probably in that bracket of managers where I do feel like the game has moved on from them. And I do remember a lot of Borough fans wanted Chris Hughton after Jonathan Woodgate, after Tony Pearce, because they wanted a better style of play, which is funny because I don't think that Chris Hughton's style of play is particularly great. Anyway, but I think a player to target and a player to look out for, I think a player to target is definitely Guy Tang Bong. I've seen a lot of criticism of him recently, particularly in the Derby game. Of course, there's heightened emotions in that game because it's a Derby, but I think in that game, he, from what I saw anyway before I left for the Riverside, he did look particularly poor. Getting in behind him, his positioning was pretty bad in that game. And then one to look out for is definitely Philip Zinkernagel. He's come in and I've got him in my Championship fantasy team, actually, and he's done some decent business for me so far. But I think he's someone that really shouldn't be at Forest because he's a player that probably deserves better than to play for a team that are really struggling at the moment. So he's definitely one to look out for. Creative, good delivery on him from out wide. They are a team that play from both sides, really. There's no, like Coventry particularly played out on the right. They go down both wings. So he's definitely one to look out for.
Okay, so how do you see the game going then?
After that Coventry game, we have to have a result that lifts us. Forest are in horrible form, but to be fair, it's one of those sort of trap games, isn't it, where I can kind of see us losing it. But I'm going to try to be positive and say 1-0 Borough.
1-0 Borough. Tom, I already feel like I know your answer, but we'll go with it.
I'm going to go 1-1. I don't think...
I swear you've gone 1-1 on pretty much every game this season.
I started off quite optimistically and now it's just going downhill. Like
optimistic Tom is just dead and buried now, yeah.
I'm just tired now.
Tired Tom, 1-1. I'm going to go with... I think we'll win. I think we'll win 1-0. I just think it'll hit off someone's backside and go in and that'll be it and we'll be promotion favourites again. But then the next up, guys, we'll chat about Blackpool and we spoke to Dan from Up the Mighty Pools podcast to ask him a couple of questions about Blackpool and see how the game will go on Saturday.
So in terms of formation, Blackpool like to set up in a 4-4-2 as standard. But what you'll find is that Neil Critchley, the Blackpool manager, tends to look at different formations that the opposition will use and then base his formation off whatever the team's going for. So I can't guarantee that it will be 4-4-2, but it's most probable that he might go for that. In terms of how we've been playing very well, obviously. You might have seen, got a recent win, 1-0 win against Fulham, where everyone played very well. But two standout players for me, in terms of ones to watch, would be Shane Lavery and Josh Bowler. Now, both of these guys played in Everton youth team, so they know each other's game very well. Josh Bowler is a very direct, pacey winger who likes to get into the box and have a shot, whereas Shane Lavery will constantly hassle defenders and again likes to cut inside and have a pop himself. In terms of my prediction, I generally think that it's going to be a tough game. As all games are in the Championship, but especially Middlesbrough, really do rate Warnock and his side. So I think it's either going to be I've got two minds here. I've got a 1-1 draw in my head. I think it's going to be a 1-1 draw.
But if it was going to be a win, I'd probably say Blackpool might just nick it, just based off the confidence they'll take from that recent Fulham win and the fact that Middlesbrough didn't do as well as maybe I thought they would against Coventry this weekend.
Okay, guys, Blackpool, in the cup game, the Tawners are part, of course. Can we maybe see something similar? Because they really did play us off the pitch on that night. Appreciate we did have quite a few youngsters playing, of course, but they did tear us apart.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be the same as the cup game, of course. As you mentioned there, it was a completely different starting 11 for Borough, but someone that impressed in that game and someone that I think is going to impress in this game is definitely who Dan mentioned there is one of the players to look out for, Josh Baller. He was linked with us, I remember, a few seasons ago. I think it was under Tony Pulis, actually. he probably did a good thing not joining us then. But he's a very good player, as he said. Very direct. Scored the goal against Fulham, which, I mean, defending was bad from Anthony Robinson and I think it was Seri. But he's a very good player. Very creative player. Threat in the box as well. Threat from out wide. But in terms of a prediction... you know what, I'm going to go with Tom. I'm going to go 1-1. I'm going to take a leaf out of Tom's 1-1 book and say 1-1.
Okay, 1-1. Tom, you're going to go 1-1?
No, I'm going to take a leaf out of Dana's book for Forest. I'm going to go with a Borough win. I'm going to go 1-0. I can just see it being kind of a really kind of boring game. We'll get the one goal early and just kind of see it out.
Full-time whistle, Middlesbrough 5, Blackpool 5. I'm going to go with, I think we'll win. I think we're going to have a good week this week. I think we'll go 2-0 Borough. I think if it's a week to try and put things right and try and get the confidence back up, we need a big week, and I think we will do that. I think we'll go on to win 2-0. So guys, thank you very much for joining me as always, and thank you guys for listening as well. And if you do like this podcast, do give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. That helps us get charted. And of course, over the last few weeks, we have been a UK top 30 podcast. So thank you very much for that as well. But that's it. 15th place, 6 points in 6, 9 wins in 33. It sounds bleak, but it's still very early in the season. But this has been the Borough Breakdown podcast, and that was our Match Day Chatter in a pod of the Borough Breakdown.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.